Praise the Lord again, church. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. Get right into our message. I'm excited about what God is doing. Is that all we can get there? I'm excited what God is doing. Is He doing something in your life? Over the past month or so, we've been preaching a series on faith and our potential in God. We've preached on overcoming the enemy. We've preached on opposition. We've preached on becoming overwhelmed but never outnumbered. And many of you have perhaps had the worst year of your life. You've seen opposition. You've experienced opposition. We've let the devil get in our face. We let him trash talk us. It's like you see the boxers standing there before they go into the ring, and they've got their weigh-in, and they're standing chest to chest, and they're staring each other down, and the enemy is staring you down, trying to intimidate you, trying to get under your skin, trying to unnerve you. Begins to trash talk under his breath that you're no good, that you're not who you think you are, and that any time he so desires, he could take you out. That's just the way the enemy likes to do it. He likes to trash talk. He's like a loud mouth opponent that doesn't know when to shut up. Recently, I watched a video clip down at my uncle's house, and it was one of these UFC fight going on, and they get out there, and the one guy's kind of trash talking the other opponent, and he kind of gets a little bit smart alecky and kind of lifts his hands down and swings around and bobs and weaves his head, and he's kind of trying to show up his opponent that I'm better than you, I'm more agile than you, I can outfight you, I can outfox you. And within a few seconds, the man that had that cocky attitude was laying on the ground, and it was all over. You could see his eyeballs had rolled back in his head. Lights were out. And the enemy has come against you. He's come against us. And he has tried his best to drive us into a defensive posture. We have been, I believe, a lot of our summertime has come and gone, and we've allowed the enemy to dictate the fight. We've allowed the enemy to choose the fighting place. We've allowed him to determine where we are going to fight and what weapons we are going to use. And I'm reminded, as I go back into history, of a young Grecian general who at the age of 20 years old took over the Grecian Empire after his father was assassinated. His country was in turmoil and friends had become enemies, and he took his father's throne at such an early age, but he undoubtedly became one of the greatest war generals that this world has ever known, and battle tacticians have studied his tactics for over and over for centuries. Ever centuries. His battle tactics still stand today as some of the greatest offsided victories that one could ever have. And by the age of 32, the young Alexander the Great, in just 12 years, had conquered the known world on his day. He overthrew the Persians. He conquered the Medes. He destroyed the remnants of the old Babylonian Empire because he was ferocious in his battles. He was never afraid to take on his opponent, who was larger in numbers. Neither should we or you, as an individual, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, neither should we ever be afraid to take on our opponents. His battle strategy was simply this. He would never fight a battle on the terms of his enemy. He would never allow his enemy to dictate the terms of the battle. And so many times we allow our enemy to dictate the terms in which we fight our battles. Thus, he stacks the deck against us. That's what a wise opponent would do. He always fought the battle on level ground. When you look at Alexander the Great, he would go to great lengths. He would lure the enemy into battle in strategies that were to his advantage. And excuse me, he never fought his battle on a level ground. His men always fought the battle with an uphill advantage. The enemy was always on their heels. When his men charged into battle, they charged downhill. They had the advantage of speed. The enemy had to fight on their heels. They had to automatically go into defense mode. And tonight, church, we need to take and drive the enemy. We need to drive the enemy into a mode where he is on his heels, where he is on his back. We need to get in his face. We need to take the enemy back to the fight back to the enemy. I have titled this message tonight, it may offend you perhaps, I'm not for sure, but I've titled this message, it is time to give hell a beating. It is time for us to rise up, and it's time for us to take the fight back to the enemy. It is time for us to give hell a good old-fashioned beat-down thumping. As summer waned on, as your pastor, and I will take the blame for some of this, I've allowed the enemy to distract us. Battles that come have distracted me, and at times I become frustrated at the results of those battles. But listen, church, we are not going to live off of past experiences. We're not going to become distracted by past failures in our lives. I preached last Wednesday night. It was a time to take a reset on getting back to Bethel. It's time to reset our lives, our ministries, and tonight God is still God. He's God on your mountaintop. He's God in your valley. He's God in your sickness. He's God in your health. He's God when you're up and when you're down. He's God when you're struggling and when things are going fine. He is always going to be God. You see, He is God when the fight is going in our favor, and He's God when we're discouraged. You may not like the title of this message tonight, perhaps, and I don't want to offend anyone, but as I was going through some old notes, I ran across this particular entry. And listen, church, I believe it is time to raise up and take this fight right back to the enemy. It's time for us to reclaim our marriages. It's time for us to reclaim our sons and our daughters. It's time for us to reclaim our families. It's time for us to reclaim our finances tonight. And I have but one passage of scripture tonight, but I feel that that is all that I need. And Jesus says in Matthew 16, verses 17 and 19, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, speaking of Simon Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It doesn't matter what hell decides to puke out of its bowels and throw at you, but my word says the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And he goes on to say, it's more than this. It gets better than this. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it's time for us tonight, Calvary Gospel Church, to loose a little bit of stomping, a little bit of kicking, a little bit of trampling on. It's time for us to take and kick hell wide open. As you can tell, I'm a little pumped tonight. It's not because of caffeine. It's been 3 days and no caffeine. So I'm reminded of Moses as he stood on the mountaintop that day, and he looked and he said cried out to God to show me your glory, the great I am that I am. He reveals himself to Moses, and the brightness of God's glory shone so bright on his face that for 40 days afterwards, he was still having to veil his face because of the brightness. There was a tabernacle that was built in the wilderness, a place for Israel to take and worship. It was built from treasures that were brought from Egypt. It was built on the past, but I challenge you tonight, it's time to stop building our treasures on past victories. It's time to stop building on past things from Egypt, from things in the world perhaps. It is time to start building on Jesus Christ himself. David's tabernacle of praise comes along. It was a different type of tabernacle where people could come any day of the day, any hour of the day, any hour of the night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, and every day of the year. For David's reign for some 40 plus 50 years that he reigned, that tabernacle of praise was always open. There was always a place to come and worship God. And David fades from the scene, and Solomon comes in all of his glory, and he builds a new tabernacle, a new temple, and the glory of God fills the place. It was so powerful, and it was so strong that the priest could not even preach. The priest could not even minister. The words, the musicians, as they begin to sing, the Shekinah glory of God settled into the place, and they all would fall out under the Holy Spirit, under the presence of God, and the place was filled with God's presence, where you couldn't even see. And then we see Isaiah as he comes along and he says, I saw the Lord. He was high and he was lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His train meaning all of the victories and all of the glories that our God has. How in the world can we stand to allow the enemy to continue day in and day out to beat us merciless? It is time for us to get up and give hell a good old fashioned foot stomping, foot thumping, beating. We can move on. In the Old Testament, we have the old prophet Haggai as he begins to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. And he was there, and he was attempting to rebuild the glory of the latter house. There was issues with rebuilding the temple. You may have problems rebuilding your life. You may have problems rebuilding your relationships. You may have problems rebuilding your finances. We're always going to have problems. There's always going to be problems. But Haggai, he never lost sight. He never gave up. He never gave in. He continued to push. He continued to move on. When the people weren't interested, he continued to push. When the people weren't supporting, he continued to push. He never gave up. Herod the Great finished some 560 years later. Herod the Great finished the tabernacle that Haggai started to build. And then we have Jesus. He moves on to the scene, and we see him as he comes in to play. He begins to move from the temple, out of the temple, into the streets. He sees Lazarus, or he comes across Lazarus, who's been dead for 3 days, who was a friend of his, and he didn't draw. He wept initially, but he walked up to that grave cave where his friend was in there buried. He had been there for 3 days. No doubt by now he pretty well stunk up the place, being dead that long with the hot sun of the Middle East beating down on that primitive cave. No doubt his body was somewhat disgusting to look at, but Jesus didn't care. He said, roll away that stone. And they rolled away the stone. His sister, Lazarus' sister, tried to stop him and said, are you sure about this, Jesus? He's been dead by now. I'm sure he's pretty ripe. He stinks up the place. And Jesus said, roll away the stone anyway, because I'm about to bring a good old hard-fashioned thumping on hell's door. I am the one. And he stood there and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he called Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And God tonight is reaching out and he's crying out to you to come forth. And he wants you and perhaps your stinky, unpure, just your filthy, putrid, our flesh sometimes can stink so bad. And he's saying, come forth. Come on out of there. I got a life for you. I got a new life for you. You see, the story of Lazarus, they believed in the past, the glory of the past. But Jesus says, I'm looking into the future. I'm looking into the future. I'm looking at future glory. I'm looking at a future miracle. Jesus says, someday we look at God perhaps and we say, am I ever going to get that miracle that I've been waiting for? Am I ever going to get that financial blessing that I've been waiting for? I want to challenge you. I want to tell you tonight that I believe if you have faith, if you have faith and you step forth in faith, that you will get that miracle that you someday hoped that you would get. Your someday has become today. What about the glory of today, the here and the now? Jesus says, I will give you power, all power, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And he didn't leave us helpless when he left this earth. He didn't leave us defenseless. He didn't leave us without any weapons to fight the enemy. He says, when I leave, I'm going to send you a power. I'm going to send you a power that will supersede any power that's on this earth. I'm going to send you a power that says, peace be still. I'm going to send you a power that will allow you to walk on water. I'm going to send you power that will allow you to raise the dead. I'm going to send you power that will allow you to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I'm going to send you power that will allow you and give you the advantage and the ability to stomp on the head of the enemy. Thus we have Acts 2:38, when all the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in one place and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. And they were sitting, and there appeared upon them cloven and tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them. So you wonder tonight why sometimes we get so hot, why sometimes we get so carried away. It's because of the power of the cloven and tongues as a fire that's sitting upon each and every one of us. But the Holy Ghost, you see, it couldn't just be contained in upper room, Pastor Thomas. It wasn't designed to be contained in an upper room. It was designed to spread out, and it spread out. Peter took this gospel. He took it out to the streets, and he began to preach. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall. It doesn't say you may. It doesn't say you might. It says ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And is this for us today? And Peter goes on to say, and this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I think that puts each and every one of us into that bracket tonight. You see, the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just able to be contained on the streets of Jerusalem. It went all over town. It went all over the countryside. It began to take and flood into nearby nations. It began to flood into the nearby continents, because the Bible tells us in Joel that the glory of the latter house, we are in those latter days, the glory days of the temple. The glory days have passed us by. You may say, all of my glory days are gone, but I inform you tonight that your best glory days, our best fight, our best victory is here tonight. It's here tomorrow. It's next week. It's next month. We haven't even got started yet. We like to live on the comfort of our past because we're uncertain of what tomorrow may bring. Our spiritual past, spiritual glory days. We can all go back and we can look at certain past services that we have been at that have changed us. And we look at past churches that we've attended that maybe have changed us. Maybe we have certain ministers, certain preachers or pastors that have preached sermons that have changed us. We've had past experiences. We've had past healings. We've had past miracles. We've had past blessings. And we become a shell of what we once were. And Haggai In his day, the people were more concerned about their crops, about their houses, about their cattle, about their possessions. And the house of God had gone undone and had gone unfinished because their priorities changed. They became tired. They lost focus and they lost interest. And they longed for the glory days of days gone by. Haggai says the latter house will be greater than the former house. God is saying to us tonight that your end, whatever is at the end of your trial you're going through right now, the end is going to be greater than your beginning. So rise up and finish what you have started. It's not over. There's more glory on the way. God says, I am not short in glory. My promises are yea and they are amen. It is time for us tonight to rise to our feet and give the devil a good old stomping. It's time for us to give the enemy a good old beat down. It's time for us to take this fight straight to the steps of the enemy. Some of us, we've allowed the enemy back into our homes. We've allowed him back into our lives, into the lives of our children. It's time to kick the devil to the curb, just like we take the trash out to the curb every Monday as trash day on West Medina Road. It's time for you to take the trash to the curb. Don't wait till trash day. Kick it to the curb right now. Purpose in your heart, purpose in your mind. I'm not dealing with this trash anymore. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for you to get up and have a little bit of a Holy Ghost guts umption and kick the enemy. Kick him right out to the curb. It's time to get rid of him. It's time to reclaim that promise. Reclaim the glory of the latter house. Listen to me tonight. Our best is yet ahead of us. We've experienced a lot of miracles. We've experienced some great things. But God says, I have got more. I've got so much more. I've got an abundance of blessings. There's all kinds of stuff going to be coming down the pike. I'm believing that God, it's going to be an everyday thing. It's not going to be a week by week. It's going to be an everyday thing. We're going to go to work and someone's going to need the Holy Ghost. And just like Sister Leandra Powell last week prayed a girl through to the Holy Ghost sitting in her car out in the parking lot, there's places of work all over this city, all over this county. This county is full of people that are hungry. This county is full of people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And all they need is someone with a little bit of apostolic unction to say, can I pray with you? We look at our world today, and our world, especially America, we've developed such a distorted view of God. We come to church and my wife recently went to a wedding, and it was performed by a pastor. He gave his credentials at the beginning of the ceremony. There was not a prayer in the ceremony. There was not a mention of God at all in the ceremony. No praying, no mention of God. Nothing was mentioned. And it's a pastor, and you're going to take, and you're going to wed, you're going to marry a couple until death do us part, and you won't mention God. You won't even pray at that marriage ceremony. I sometimes wonder what in the world is going on with pastors today behind the pulpits. The reason America's in a mess that it's in is because it's got a bunch of weak, limp-wristed pastors that don't have the guts to stand up and say sin is sin. That's the bottom line. If the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. I don't care what we classify it. I don't care what we categorize it in. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, it's a sin. We've made God into some big old blessed, big old huge teddy bear that just likes to cuddle everybody in their time of need and problems. We've made turned God into, you listen to some preachers preach, and it's all about prosperity. It's like, come on up here to the altar. God's a big old huge ATM machine. Put your tithing card in. He's going to spit you out blessings. Just put it in. He'll spit it out. God's not an ATM machine, and he's not a big old fluffy teddy bear. He's the God that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's a God that said, I am that I am. He's a God that says, I am God, and there is none like me. There is none above me. There is none below me. There is none beside me. I am God. I make the rules. The Pope doesn't. I make the rules. Pastor Roy Grant doesn't. We'll be judged out of that book. Not by somebody's doctrinal statement that's listed in their church bulletin. You see, God's glory, it's so beyond all of this fluff and junk that's preached across our pulpits today. Maybe you've never heard a preacher preach like this. Hang around for a few more weeks. You might get another one. But listen, I am not going to be a preacher that when I stand before God someday, the people that I pastor are not going to say, I really don't have a clue what sin is and what it isn't. I don't have a clue what salvation is or what it isn't. I don't have a clue what righteousness and holiness is and what it isn't. Jesus, he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and praying. Now we're on a short fast here. It's not a real difficult fast, okay? I will grant you that. No media. We're asking everyone to stay off of social media. For older folks, it's generally Facebook. For younger folks, it's Snapchat. And Lord knows what will also be out there tomorrow. Okay, I took Facebook. It's right off. I just went in. I deleted the whole thing. Just deleted it right out. I use it for communicating with ministries. There's a purpose to it. But I said, you know what? If you want to get hold of me, call me. Talk to me at church. Leave a message. Leave a note. Whatever. We're also fasting from sweets and treats. That's why tonight I'm no doubt suffering a little bit from lack of caffeine in my system. And my system is in overactive mode trying to withdraw any amount of caffeine that it can to the surface so it can indulge in it. I have no idea. But for those of you that love your Mountain Dew and those of you that love your coffee and your cappuccinos and all of your lattes and all of those pretty little chocolates and pumpkin spice and all of that kind of stuff this time of year, we're asking you to refrain from all of that, all of your sweets and your treats. We're going to be traveling, and I love to travel eating beef sticks, drinking Mountain Dew that's diluted down with pineapple and applesauce and strawberry juice and such. And it's so good because it's so smooth, it tastes good, and I like that beef stick, and I like a nice piece of string cheese with it as I drive. And my wife does a great job. She keeps a little cooler right by me, but we'll be leaving for conference tomorrow with no Mountain Dew, no beef sticks, and no string cheese. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but somehow, I will find the strength to get to Indianapolis. So when I look at all of this, Jesus was fasting in the wilderness 40 days with no food. No food. Satan comes to him and tries to tempt him. Imagine this. Some of us at the end of one day with no Mountain Dew, Satan would come and he could talk us into doing everything and anything, because everything he shows to us in the shape of a big old Mountain Dew can just dripping with ice water dripping off of it. We hear that little and the little steam rolls out. Our mouth begins to water and we say, well, what do you want, Satan? You want me to tell what on who for the whole can? for just a sip? Come on, what do I got? We bargain with Satan over some of the most trivial things. Here Jesus has gone 40 days and 40 nights. He's tired, he's weak, he's tempted. Satan appears to him. And in three simple Bible verses, all Old Testament scripture, he defeats Satan. See, Jesus left that mountaintop. He was weak in body. But he was ready to go take and kick some serious devil. You can finish that sentence. I'm not going to go there. I don't want to tempt anybody. He was ready to go turn the works of Satan upside down. He was ready to fulfill that scripture that says, he will bruise my head and I will, or he will bruise my heel and I will crush his head. I just got my cowboy boots repaired. I was telling them before church, these are alligator boots, and they're one of my favorite pair, and I just about wore them out at Monona Bootery. Man, that guy's, he's awesome. If you got any cowboy boots and you need them fixed, take them to this guy. I mean, he made these things. He put a new sole on them. He put a new heel on it and that new rubber pad. And I told the pre-service meeting tonight, I said, you know what? I got new boots, I got new soles, and I got new heels, and I'm ready to do some serious stomping tonight. How many of you got some heels on? Huh? How many of you got some heels on? Let's take that heel and let's put it on the floor and let's start doing a little stomping. You know, give that little cadence. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on, just keep on stomping. Stomp out that depression. Stomp out that oppression. Stomp out the finances. Stomp out the marriage problems. Begin to just stomp it out. Stand to your feet if you got to apply a little more pressure. Just start to stomp on it. Stomp on it. Don't let the enemy away. Get up and get down. If you got to do it, heavy duty. Get some heavy duty stomping. Get in there and put your feet down and stomp the enemy. Yes! Everywhere Jesus went, everywhere he went, he performed miracles. He performed signs and wonders. He raised the dead. He healed the leper because he was preparing for Calvary. He was tired. He was weary. And he was worn out. But I ask you to fast and pray this simple fast. But listen to me. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall just refrain from media for a week, if they'll just not drink Mountain Dew for a few days, if they'll stop drinking lattes, I will take and I will heal their land. No, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will they hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It's going to take more than going without a Mountain Dew, Pastor Roy. It's going to take more than going without a beef stick and a little string cheese. It's going to take some good old hardcore down on your knees, fasting and praying and crying out to God. You say, if we want the glory of the latter house, it's going to come at a great personal cost. We're not going to get it the way that we're doing it because we haven't got it yet. It's time for some time. It's going to cost us some time at the altar. It's going to cost us some personal time. It may force you to realign your priorities. You want God to work in your family? Put him first. Stop putting yourself first. Stop putting your own selfish life first. Put God first. You want him to work in your finances? Hey, here's a new one. How about putting God first? I've been pastor for 2 years here, and some of you have never put a dime in the tithing. And you wonder why. You wonder why God doesn't bless you. And then we got brothers here that drive up in new pickup trucks, and you have the audacity to get jealous of them because they got a new truck or they bought a new camper. It's because they're giving, and they're giving, and they're giving, and they're giving, and they're paying the light bill so you can come to church. They're paying the electric, the gas bill so it's warm in here in the wintertime for you. They're paying to get the parking lot plowed and the lawn mowed while you sit there and do absolutely nothing. So how dare you get on a brother or a sister that God has blessed when you're sitting there broke all the time. That one came just, whew. You know, that irks me. That gets under me like nothing else. Listen, nothing like putting a little skin in the game, folks. You want God to bless you? Give him something to bless you with. You're out looking for a better job because you can't make ends meet now. Listen, you're going to get that better job. You ain't going to make ends meet on that either because you ain't giving God nothing out of it. You're just going to have more bills that rack up. You know why? Because I've been there. It didn't work. No matter how much money I made, I never made enough money to get out of the hole. It wasn't until I finally got a little smart and say, okay, I need to start doing what my pastor preaches. I need to start giving that 10%. I need to give that offering to God first, not last. Put God to work in your family. Put God first. Put God to work in your finances. Put him first. If you want to reach that fullness in God, you want to reach the fullness of the potential that God has for you, put him first. I'm tired of watching Satan just knock the snot out of some of you folks. I hate to be so blunt tonight. I'm just tired of it. Because it affects me. It affects my wife. It affects our ministries. It affects those around you. No man is unto an island to himself. When you get in a scuffle or a fight with someone at work, it doesn't just affect that someone. It affects everyone. A husband and a wife get in a fight. It affects the whole family. It can affect the whole block. And here Satan is just running to and fro and doing whatever he wants. It's time for you to get up and take Satan. And it's time for you to knock the snot out of him. It's time for you to take hell and do a little bit of foot stomping. It's time for you to reclaim what he's taken. Get up and fight for what God said was already yours. Take the word. Put it in your heart. Get on your knees. Knock the stuffing out of the enemy. Stop running and stand up and fight. Get on the offensive. Give hell a good old-fashioned beat down. We come to church. This isn't the only place you can praise and worship. Yesterday, I sat in my office and I put on some old-fashioned gospel stuff that goes back into the 50s and 60s. And before I knew it, tears were streaming down my cheeks, Pastor Phil. And I began to worship and praise God. And as I began to type on my message, the words begin to flow out. Listen, we can beat down the enemy with our praise to our God. We can beat down the enemy with our worship to our God. We can beat down the enemy in our witness on our job. I can beat down the enemy in my preaching behind the pulpit. I can beat down the enemy in my walk with God. I can beat down the enemy with my life of holiness, the best of my ability, and my life of righteousness, the best of my ability. I can beat him down with the word of God. You need a healing? Beat him down. Beat down that sickness. Use the word of God. Jesus, looking unto them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible. You got an impossibility in your life? Take God's word and beat it down. You got a trial in your life? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Got a trial? Beat it down. Beat it down. You afraid? You got fear? Beat it down. Use the word of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. You got fear? Beat it down. That power that you received when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You afraid? Fear? Beat it down. Are you tired tonight? Sometimes we just get tired. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Tired of fighting? Beat it down. Fear, sickness, depression, finances. Tired of the enemy messing with you? Tired of them stealing from you? Listen, as exciting as I can get at times, I cannot defeat the enemy with my own strength and abilities. So many times we think that we can do that. You see, in closing, if our musicians can come, you can stand to your feet. I have a little boxing glove here. It says ringside. It's a little boxing glove that Sister Lenora gave me a couple months ago. I keep this with me all the time. Sometimes I even wear it like this when I'm praying. Now you may laugh at this, but you see, written across this edge of this golf or this golf club, this, what in the world? I guess that would work too. Written across this boxing glove is a scripture. And it's 2 Chronicles 20:15. This is where God says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. You see, a number of armies, I believe it was five armies, came against Israel. Ready to wipe them off the map. God speaks to Jehoshaphat. He says, thus saith the Lord unto you. He's saying, Jehoshaphat, this is God speaking. Don't be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. You see, the battle is not yours. It's mine. So tonight, I want to personalize this a little bit if I can. Will you let me do that? Hearken to you, my child, and all you saints at Calvary Gospel Church, and to you as well, Pastor Roy. For this is God saying unto you, be not afraid. Don't even get worried. You see all of these problems? You see all of these never-ending trials that may come your way? You see all of this? Let me handle this. Let me handle this. Let me handle this, God says. It's not your fight. See, the devil's messing with the wrong daddy. He's messing with the wrong daddy. He says, it's not your fight. It's mine. Church, it's time that we team up with Jesus Christ. And it's time we give hell a good old-fashioned beat down. You all ready tonight? How many of you ready to give hell a beat down? How many of you said, enough's enough? I'm not going to take it anymore. You see, it starts with praise and worship. We're going to start praying. The praise team is going to lead us into song. I want you to come down to this altar. Get out any aisle. whatever you got to do. Start putting a beat down on the enemy tonight. I'm taking it back. I'm reclaiming what you stole from me. I'm reclaiming it right here, right now, right tonight.